KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies. It's 35 degrees. There is a wind advisory in effect for far west and southwest Iowa until 6 this evening, and for Cass and other counties until 9. We look for it to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high of 43, with winds northwesterly to westerly at 15 to 30 miles per hour, gusting as high as 55. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In Western Iowa news, the cities of Griswold and Walnut are seeking pre-applications from homeowners interested in participating in the Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, home rehabilitation program. Both the cities, with the assistance of the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, are submitting applications to the Iowa Economic Development Authority in April for the housing CDBG program. And if awarded, the program will provide funding to income-qualified owner-occupied homes within the target area. The homes will be brought up to the Iowa Minimum Housing Rehabilitation Standards, which may include items such as furnaces, water heaters, windows, doors, roofing, siding, and foundation, and so on. All pre-applications are due in by Friday, March 29th. If the cities are awarded the CDBG grant, all pre-applicants within the target area will be contacted to complete a full application. If you're interested in pre-applying, you're asked to call the City Hall at 778-2615 and SWIPCO at 866-279-4720 for the application. The Southwest Iowa Planning Council is a council of government serving the 8 counties of Southwest Iowa with public transit, housing rehabilitation, and community and economic development. SWIPCO is an equal opportunity employer, provider, and lender. Well, Montgomery County Extension and Outreach will be starting off the year with our new Ag Coffees. The Ag Coffees will be a free monthly gathering to learn about topics that affect us in the ag world and have conversation with other area producers. January's Ag Coffee will be on farm succession planning, sponsored by Farm Credit Services of America. You can join the Ag Extension Council to learn a bit about the importance of transition planning and minimizing legal difficulties and confusion for your family during farm transition. Join the Montgomery County Ag Extension for their Ag Coffee January 23rd at 9:30 a.m. at the Montgomery County Extension office. The coffee will be hot and the rolls will be ready. You're asked to make your reservation, but it's not required. Appreciate it, though. You can contact the Montgomery County Extension office at 712-623-2592. The Union County Sheriff's Office reports 28-year-old Chad Sterling Kozad of Creston was arrested Saturday evening at the Union County Law Enforcement Center. Kozad was charged with possession of a controlled substance, and he was later released from the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday said the 25-year-old Caleb Joseph Proctor of Bellevue, Nebraska, had been arrested late Friday morning at the Mills County Sheriff's Office. Proctor was taken into custody on a warrant for burglary, criminal mischief, and possession of a controlled substance. His bond was set at $8,000. And 43-year-old Joshua Adam Miller of Bellevue, Nebraska, was arrested just before 1 a.m. on Sunday for OWI first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. Sheriff's officials in Pottawatomie County said yesterday that a traffic stop early Saturday morning resulted in the arrest of a man from Cass County. A deputy patrolling at around 1 a.m. near the intersection of Highway 59 and 6 observed an SUV with several equipment violations. Upon stopping the vehicle, the driver, 58-year-old Gary Joe Buboltz of Lewis, was found to be driving without a license. Buboltz was subsequently arrested for driving while barred and given a written warning for the equipment violations. A reported reckless driver was arrested late Saturday night in Pottawatomie County. Authorities say a pickup heading eastbound over Interstate 480 into Pottawatomie County was later located, and the driver, 45-year-old Michael Philip Castor Jr. of Omaha, was taken into custody at around 10:45 p.m. on charges that include eluding, OWI first offense, interference with official acts, and theft in the first degree. Castor was also arrested on a U.S. Marshal's warrant for being a fugitive from justice. He was being held without bond on the warrant and a $10,000 bond on the felony escape from custody charge. And an investigation into a reported burglary in Avoca Sunday morning resulted in the arrest of a woman from Nebraska. 25-year-old Michelle Grace Waldhauser of Omaha was taken into custody for burglary in the third degree, breaking and entering, in connection with an incident that occurred at a garage in Avoca where she allegedly attempted to take a pancake-style air compressor valued at $500. Waldhauser suffered apparent minor injuries during the incident that happened in the 500 block of Locust Street in Avoca. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a court document says a former supervisor intends to plead guilty to federal charges that he conspired with others to manipulate water sample test results at the Sioux City Wastewater Treatment Plant. Patrick Schwartz's attorneys filed a notice on Monday in U.S. District Court. Schwartz's hearing for plea is set to January 23rd. Prosecutors say chlorine was added to wastewater on days that E. coli samples were taken. The samples then showed plant discharges into the Missouri River met federal limits for levels of fecal coliform and E. coli. The chlorine was reduced after the tests, saving the city money. The city dismissed Shorty and the plant superintendent in June of 2015 after the Iowa DNR began their investigation. Iowa continues to lose meat lockers in the state's smaller towns. Brandy Jensen, who runs the Iowa Center for Agricultural Safety and Health, says without those producers, small-scale farmers will lose customers.
Yeah, well, if you don't have access to a market, you don't have much reason to farm. It's just sort of it's a necessary chain. So, and then you have to make calculations about, well, how far is it economically feasible and also humane to transport animals?
Iowa State University researchers estimate Iowa has about a third as many small meat plant producers today as they did in 1965.
They're critical for a healthy local food system. A small producer is not going to be able to access a giant federally inspected processing facility for products that he or she is going to sell to their local community.
A longtime meat locker in eastern Iowa closed its doors at the end of December. The Holy Cross Meat Locker was famous for its smoked sausage before it shut down after 72 years. Market watchers say Iowa is losing a lot of these small meat processors. The shops, sometimes run by just a handful of family members, generally butcher a limited number of cattle and hogs for retail or farmers markets. Iowa lost population last year, according to a study from United Van Lines. The moving company says it handled more moves for people leaving Iowa than those moving in, making it 8 out of the 50 states for having the most outbound moves. Michael Stoll, a professor of public policy at UCLA, studies the data for United. Stoll says many of the people who left Iowa are young, between the ages of 25 and 44.
And they're more moderate income individuals, so they're making somewhere between $40,000 and $75,000. So what that says is that there's an economic reason for people leaving Iowa that may have to do with professional aspirations or opportunities that they could achieve elsewhere.
Iowa's population loss is no surprise, as many people leave this part of the country every year and head generally south.
This is part of a longer overall migration trend that's been occurring in the United States for the last 20, 30 years, where you have people leaving the Midwest to the southern and western, southwestern states for a whole variety of reasons, including changes in the economy, demographic change, as well as people migrating to more warmer climates.
The number one reason people give for moving is job-related, but other factors play a role, he says, including family, housing costs, and taxes.
In Iowa, about 63% of people are moving there to take a job, but a quarter, 25%, are moving to be closer to family and friends. And typically, you know, in the United States, only about 6% of people move to be closer to family and friends. So 25% moving to Iowa for that reason is a pretty big number.
The U.S. Census Bureau says Iowa's population grew by 0.5% last year and exceeded 3.1 million people, ranking Iowa 30th among the 50 states. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.